Well, good evening, brothers. through some fellowship, the brothers decided that we will resume, not on a weekly basis, maybe monthly or however the Lord would lead us to have to continue our time on Monday nights with or certain Monday nights with the leading brothers, the responsible ones, even just serving brothers in the churches in NorCal. And I feel, of course, burdened for this time to continue to perfect. I'm not saying I'm so capable or as a kind of a perfecter or trainer, but I do feel an obligation to many of you brothers because I started to be with you, 5 or 6 years ago in those elders training. And those are just a start, the basics, if you will. And it was also very, very quick. It's a course, a study course, so that it's a little bit more academic in nature. And although the subjects are all very, very rich and very, very full, in the end, we have only so much time. And plus the fact that the matter of eldership or taking the lead, bearing responsibility in a local church is more about doing than just mere studying. So in the ensuing years, after those 2 years of training, we have this kind of meeting, I think monthly, right? Generally on a monthly basis. They're in Fremont and other places on a Saturday morning. And so this kind of fellowship is in a similar nature to that kind of a fellowship. It is perfecting in nature. It the burden is more to help us, to aid us in the practice, the carrying out of a proper leadership or eldership in the church life, which is desperately needed. And I almost think that if I have not succeeded in anything in Northern Cal, at least in a small way, I would have accomplished something if many of you brothers are trained up or raised up to be the proper serving elders in the years and even decades ahead. But I can only pray for you and look to God's mercy. And also, while there's opportunity like this to give you some exhortation, some help, some pointers, the rest is really up to you to be practitioners of these things, to be the doers of these things. And a good elder is really not something that a person is born to be. A good elder is someone that is cultivated to be such or trained to be such. There is the side always of some gift and some, you know, capacity that comes from birth. There's always those things that are factors. But in the end, it is still the heart for God's people and the learning that you would apply to this service. Basically, it's constantly on the job training. That's what it is. There's no end to this learning. Now, tonight, I do have something specific in mind. And from two angles, the reason I have this burden, number one, and that is in these days of the pandemic, and it looks like with the search, whether you call it wave two or whatever it is, things are not looking quite good. In a number of states, there's a surge and an increase, both in infected cases and even in fatalities from the COVID-19. I'm not here to get into all the health sciences and all of that. I'm just saying that even with at least I was told at least five vaccines that are going to be put out, and they're going to create hundreds of millions of doses for even just for this country to use. And even some of the health experts say that as early as fall, we may see the first usable vaccine. There's without a lot of noises, billions of dollars have been put into research by some of the big farmers and scientists and the health experts and so on to come up with these different vaccines. But the point is, even if there's a vaccine, life will not return to normal, so to speak, so quickly, so easily. I would say, of course, they even have priorities to see who got first vaccinated, you know, the old, the senior generation, the first responders, the healthcare personnel, and down on like this. And you all know that California is one of the bad states right now in terms of the numbers. And I think we just broke even New York state record, in terms of the number of cases that are tested to be positive. And is spreading into rural area, rural states all across America. So, brothers, what are we going to do? What kind of church life will we carry on? We talk about Zoom fatigue. We're talking about saints kind of slowly dropping out, especially the weaker ones of these Zoom-based church life, which is in keeping with some Christian survey that is done, a group called Barner Research Group. They said all across the board, I think you lose at least one out of four of your congregation just because of this pandemic. I don't know what our number is, but I think it would not be unreasonable to imagine that we also are losing certain saints, at least as far as showing up to the Zoom meetings and what have you. So this is the first side. The second side is what I've been talking to you about, and that is how to build up a local church. You remember that. practically speaking, how do you build up, or how do you vitalize a local church. And so that is not a simple matter at all. But this is what we are called to do, and this is what we are positioned to do. If you are appointed to be an elder or you are taking the lead, this is what we have to do. Otherwise, what are we doing in the local church? Again, just signing checks and arranging the schedule of the church. Is that what we do? That's not what we do. Those things can be done by deacons, by very quickly. That is not the work of an elder. So just what do we do, especially in these days? And this is the driver of my burden tonight. Now tonight I don't have any kind of scriptures or in a way of truth or teaching in that kind of a way. What comes to mind is, again, Paul, the Apostle Paul. We all know there are really two ways to learn something. Number one, you read a book, you take a course, you learn. That's one way to learn. Another way of learning, which is more traditional, and that is you watch someone, how they do something. You shadow them, am I right? Even today, you have, if you want to be a doctor, you shadow, as a learner, as someone in the medical doing residency and so on. You shadow, you watch how they treat patients, how they do diagnosis, and how they administer drugs or do operation, whatever the case may be. You watch and you pick up. So with Paul, obviously he's a great teacher and he has left so much teaching for us to read and to study and to learn. And it's that's very important, and especially on the matter, on the side of the truth, right? We do need to study the word. We do need to study particularly the Pauline epistles, really to know these truth concerning God and his Christ and Spirit, God's economy, the church, and so on. But the emphasis here in these talks is not the truth. Truth is important. Truth is king, right, we say. The burden here is the practice, is the doing. So in this way, we need to shadow Paul. We need to follow Paul around and see just how he did things. So thankfully, in the book of Acts and even in Paul's own writing, he did not just give us teachings. He gave us a lot of his own experience in many facets of his service and ministry. And so, brothers, tonight I just have the burden to come back to one particular passage, and that is a passage that Brother Lee invariably would quote or use when he talked to the elders, when he trained the elders. And that is none other than Acts 20, where in the third, at the end of the third journey, so-called missionary journey of Paul, he passed by Ephesus because he wanted to make sure he can get to Jerusalem by Pentecost. So he didn't have time to visit so many churches, including Ephesus, which was one of his most beloved church, where he spent 3 years. And he didn't have time. So they drop anchor in one place called Miletus, which is about 30 plus miles from Ephesus. And then he would send the word and call the elders of the church there to come and meet him. I have to believe most of these elders he knew because he appointed them. Even though it says the Spirit appointed them, actually Paul also had raised them up. And here, it's a classic passage, and there are many, many books written on this, many messages given, many even analysis made, or analyses made concerning what kind of apostle this is, and by the way he taught, spoke to these Ephesian elders. So tonight we don't have all the time to talk about what this passage revealed to us concerning Paul, the person, Paul the apostle, Paul the slave of God. We just have no time for that. Tonight I just want to underscore something that is a burden in my heart. Before we do this, I would just like to say this, read this one verse first, and that is verse 28, and that is clearly the word, the classic word, to the elders of a church. This is the commission. This is the job description in an abbreviated form. Take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among whom the Holy Spirit has placed you as overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he obtained through his own blood. A very, very compact verse, but a very, very pregnant verse with a lot of things here. Now, the main point I want to make is this, that is two things. Number one, that the Spirit has placed various brothers as overseers, number one, right? Overseers. Number one. And number two, even though it does not have this in noun form, it says overseers to shepherd. So you may say shepherds. These are the two things, overseer and shepherds. The overseer refers to who these persons are, these elders are. That word that become today's bishop, that oversee a group of elders, and which is the beginning of the hierarchy in the Church of God, which is entirely something wrong. But that word, the bishop, or that word overseer, refers to the elders. This is who they are, and this is their office, if you will, the office of an overseer. just an elder in a local church. So you can put elder and overseer together. They are the same people. The word elder refers to their person being senior, being experienced, being matured, right? That's by definition an elder. And an overseer refers to the office of oversight, right? That has the thought even of management or administration. You know, when you oversee a company or an organization, you are responsible for its business affairs, for all aspects of this business or this company. Of course, to give oversight, oversee, right? You give oversight to look over all that company, and that of course, is in the church. You have overseers and elders in local churches. But then there's this other word, shepherd. Shepherd. Shepherd is actually not a matter of office. It is not a matter even of the person per se. Shepherd actually refers to the function. The function. The function of an elder or an overseer is actually to shepherd. So Paul says to take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, shepherd the church of God. That's the function. The function, don't forget, of an elder is totally to shepherd. I say again, sorry. It's not to make schedules. It's not to sign checks, okay? It is to shepherd. It is just to shepherd a flock. Of course, that's a big subject, but let's get this straight. If you do not shepherd the flock, which is the saints, the believers, then you are not an elder. You are not. You can be busy doing many things. That's why elders need deacons. The deacon's work is to carry out the practical affairs under the elders and according to the elders' direction. That's why we have deacon's office or business office. But sorry to say today, there's still this wrong understanding that elders administrate, they think administrate or manage, it is to do all these practical things, when actually it is not. And so in the churches, we could have a fairly decent and a good practical services, but shepherding is always poor, always short, always deficient. That's the problem. There's a fundamental wrong or misguided kind of a understanding. Now, besides the word shepherd, there's actually another word, although it is not here, but it is a word that is often used along with shepherd, and that is the word teacher. And so in Ephesians 4, you have, you know, those gifts given by the head, Christ, to the body to perfect the saints unto the work of the ministry. And that those two words, shepherds and teachers, are grouped together. So we're taught that these two actually are a single group of people. A single group of people. And you ask me, who are these people? These are just gifts. But I like to tell you tonight, that I would say mainly the shepherds and teachers are the elders. Mainly, not entirely, right? Paul was both, am I right? But mainly in our practical church life, of course, eventually all the saints should be shepherds and teachers, no doubt about that. But those who should first take the lead to be such, to have such functions, to fulfill such function, are the elders. The elders may not be an apostle, may not be an evangelist, may not be a prophet. But an elder must be a shepherd and a teacher. There's no getting around that. No getting around that. And so, brothers, that's what we are. That's what we are. And if we do not fulfill this function, then we're not doing our job. We are not the real elders and teachers and overseers, excuse me. So I want to say this up front. Now, brothers, you asked me in these pandemic days, how should the church life go on? How should we serve the saints? What do we do, right? I would like to tell you, in a way, there's no change. There's no change in function. Whether it's pandemic or no pandemic, we should be doing the same thing. And that is to shepherd and teach the saints. You read Timothy, you get the same understanding that the work of an elder is, again, that, right? Those who are apt to teach, am I correct? Those who are capable of teaching, not from a platform or a pulpit, but the home teaching, the mother's teaching, all right? Apt to teach. And of course, to be a shepherd to the saints, that goes without saying. So, now, brothers, back to these days, I would like to advance a thought, and that is these lockdown days or these kind of shelter-in-place days where we don't see the saints, right? We don't meet in the meeting hall or not even in small groups. This, in fact, with the help of, you know, technology, right, Zoom or whatever else, this actually we are presented with an unprecedented, let me use this overused word, opportunity, brothers, to shepherd the saints. Even, I would say, better than even when there's no pandemic and no lockdown. Why? Because when that is the case, number one, we're busy. We're all busy running around. Everybody's busy. To even find time is hard. Or when you need to visit someone, you need to dress up, you need to drive, you need to, you know, a whole afternoon spend just to maybe visit a family or something. Look, right now, you're sitting in your home. You don't need to dress up. You know what I'm saying? You've got your internet, right? Your Wi-Fi and your laptop, whatever. And with a few clicks, you have this brother, this couple, this young college believer, or even this high schooler, sitting right in front of you with full attention. And because he does not have to dress up, he does not need to. And so suddenly, there's a much lower barrier for the shepherd and the shepherded to meet. Now, I know we get Zoom fatigue. We get Zoom fatigue like in a session like this when only one person is talking, everybody's listening. All those who are listening will get Zoom fatigue. I don't, because I'm talking. All right. That's understandable, because when you're participating, you get fatigued. You just get tired. Or even right now, you may be getting a little sleepy. But when I'm talking to you just one-on-one, right? Or with your family, we're engaged. We're both participating. It is a mutual thing going on. And suddenly you have attention and you won't get that kind of a fatigue. So, and not only so, in these days with more time in our hands, generally speaking, we actually have more time to pray. More time to pray and consider things. What do I mean by things? The saints. The saints. This one or that one in your small group, in your district, whatever, or just that you have a burden for, you actually have more time to pray for them or think about them and consider them. So actually, this is a kind of a tailor-made almost situation for us to what? To raise up the level of shepherding brothers. And I don't know whether this is happening or not, or we just, some brothers tell me the saints are dropping off the Lord's Day meeting. What should we do? They're getting fatigued. Inwardly, I say, brother, is that the only thing you can think about? Have you thought about that this is actually the perfect time for you to seek out lost sheep? This is the best time for you to find that person that you otherwise would not meet with, or would not be ready or open to you. This is the time that you can spend more time to pray and intercede specifically for various situations and cases. And so I said, brothers, it all depends how you look at things. If the pandemic will shut down the church life, then I don't know what kind of church life we're in. You know, in Roman Empire, all the persecution did not shut down the church. They went underground, maybe, but there's not shut down. They were a vibrant group of people. They were vital. They were exercised. They were alive. The more persecution, the more alive they become. And so, brothers, there's no excuse. This, to me, is the best time to fulfill our function of shepherding and teaching the saints. However, if we don't look at things this way, and even worse, if we don't have a heart to do this, then there's nothing more I can say. What can I say? But if you do have a heart for the saints, as an overseer, as an elder, or even some of us who are not officially an elder, we're a learner, or we are not a, what would you say, just a responsible brother, it does not matter. The reality is what's important. If all of us brothers in this Zoom call would just shepherd, all right, one person a week, or two or three persons a week, every other day, all right? And I'm not even talking about 2 hours time. I'm talking about 15 minutes, 10, 15 minutes, just a quick reading. You don't tire people out. How are you doing? Do some small talk. Find out where they are. Just to show your face that you care. If we all, just the brothers in this room, would do that, two or three, how many saints will, and in many cases it's a couple, you know, or even a family, how many people would we be meeting and shepherding? You just think about it. It does not need you to shepherd 50 people or even 10 people, but it takes all of us to shepherd two or three. So those who are serving with the young people, you should be visiting these young people. Now they may be goofing off, they may be, no, but you just show your face. You just, hi, how are you doing? You care. This will leave a deep impression on them, that the church, the brothers, care for me, right? Even some naughty boys, you just have this time with them. College age, the same. The college age, right? And then what? Families, couples. And how about some senior saints or some ailing or aging brothers and sisters? I mean, brothers, and then not to mention the dormant saints, right? Those who are not even regular in the church life. What a time to visit them. You cannot even tell them to come to the meeting because there's no meeting to come to. You're just plainly there to visit them. To visit them. God just comes to visit his people, to be present with them. And his presence became the greatest comfort and strengthening and joy and to those that he visited. Brothers, can we do that? Can we at least do that? I tell you, brothers, we can build up the church during the pandemic if we do this. If we do this. If we just wait until Lord's Day morning, then the elder is controlling the Zoom and push this button, push that button. Brothers, is that what we do? Is that the elder's job? I'm not saying that's wrong, okay? Plenty of people can do that. And that meeting is just half an hour, it's just 40 minutes, 50 minutes, and it's over. And most people are just there on a screen, one of the small screens. That's hardly shepherding. You know what I'm saying? But this kind, I come back one-on-one, one with a couple, with two, you see, a small number, and with very, very dedicated and attentive care for those you are visiting. Brothers, if you don't believe me, then maybe you have a better way. Maybe you have a better way. I don't know what that way would be. And brothers, and I would even say besides this kind of visitation, some other kind of shepherding, there are many kinds of shepherding and many levels of shepherding, right? Some shepherding has a perfecting nature to it, has a perfecting. You are there, you just have a burden for this brother, not because he's dropping out or he is being negative. He's a very positive serving brother. But you have a burden to perfect this brother, mentor this brother further. And this is shepherding. This is also shepherding. Some definitely have issues or problems, whether it's the marital kind or business kind or familial kind, whatever it may be, or personal kind. You just have a burden to shepherd this couple, this family, or this one. That is another kind of shepherding. These are, whatever we do, brothers, it's all part of shepherding. I'm not going to spend time here tonight to define shepherding, you know. Cherishing with Christ Jesus humanity, nourishing with Christ divinity. We all know those things. We all know those things. Brothers, I'm burdened for doing. For doing. And when you do, when you practice, you will begin to learn how to cherish someone. There's a whole lot of cherishing needed before you can start to nourish. You have to hold them in your bosom, you know, using the metaphor of a shepherd and a sheep. Am I right? You have to lay them on green pasture by the still waters. That's what you do. You use the staff and the rod to comfort them. You do. You sometimes have to journey and walk with them, accompany them through the valley of shadow of death. Because they are dismayed, they're disheartened. Something tragic happened. You walk with them. Sometimes you joy with them. You enjoy the victory of the Lord with them. with a table spread in the presence of our enemies. Am I right? So, brothers, there's so much shepherding to do. And Paul, here back to Paul, and this is what Brother Lee always talks about, and that is his example, again, learning by shadowing Paul. And he, when he saw these elders, he right away said he didn't start teaching them a class on eldership. He said, you know, from the first day I set foot in Asia, you know, Ephesus is in Asia Minor, how I was with you all the time. His way of teaching, mentoring the elders is say, look at me. And I want to remind you what I did 3 years in a row when I was with you. Remember? That's what you should do. That's what you should do. How I was with you all the time, serving the Lord as a slave with all humility and tears, this is should be the heart of an elder. A slave, much humility, even much tears. Twice in a row in this segment, Paul mentioned his tears. His tears. It's hard to be a good elder without tears. There's no good tearless elders. And I don't mean faking some tears. I'm talking about genuinely weeping, being concerned, being overwrought by the need and the condition of the brothers and sisters. Tears flow. That what intimacy, what emotion, what concern, brothers. This is the elder's heart. Okay, 20. How, again, how, you saw me, how I did not withhold any of those things that are profitable by not declaring them to you. This could be all kinds of things, everything profitable, not just high truth, but even practical instructions. Not just God's counsel and God's economy, but many, many practical things related to a believer's life. All kinds of things. I don't withhold. I just minister them to you. And I never withhold anything by not teaching you publicly and from house to house. So there, here are 2 points, brothers. One is a very important point. And that is this matter of teaching. So we mentioned shepherds and teachers are the same group of people, and shepherding and teaching are the same kind of work. We actually shepherd by teaching. And when we teach, we need to teach as a shepherd, not like a teacher, professor, no, but as a shepherd. You know, to date in Christianity, the word shepherd has become the word pastor. You know, the word pastor actually is the word shepherd. Something pastoral, a shepherd's work. And then the word overseer has become the word bishop. It's terrible. So today, brothers, we are the actual teachers, but we need to know how to teach, not like from giving a message, not like from the platform in that kind of a way, but teaching as a mother, like a nursing mother, like an exhorting father, teaching in that kind of way. Right now, I'm having my 3-generation quarantine. So every day I see how my daughters and sons-in-law teach, home teach their kids. That's not a professor teaching. It's parental teaching. You know, today, one of the great lacks in our educational system is actually parents. That's missing. Parental teaching. And now with the pandemic, you know, they don't want, because of for health reasons, they don't want to send their kids to school. I think there'll be more and more homeschooling. You know what I say? It's about time. Brothers, Paul was doing homeschooling, teaching, brothers. Paul, when he talked about shepherding the saints, for example, like in Colossians chapter 1, at the end of that chapter, he said, I struggle, right, to announce to every man, teaching them and admonishing them. Every man, that one day I can present them full grown in Christ, right? So Paul's way of shepherding the believers is one-on-one. One-on-one. Not with a large group. Sure, at the end, he had rented his own house and taught the things of the kingdom. But I'm talking not about that. I'm talking about shepherding. He did it one-on-one, a man at a time. A man at a time, a person at a time, a believer at a time. By what way? By admonishing, by exhorting, by teaching. You know, I look at my children in the way they home teach their children. It's just those few things, teaching them how to be. Admonishing them and exhorting, don't do that. Don't hit your brother, you know. Say good morning to grandpa. Do you know what I'm saying, brothers? That's admonishing. That's exhorting. That's teaching. One-on-one. And day after day, they did that. Day after day, they did that. Slowly to build up a proper human being. And that is really short in even the secular society today. And how about in the church life, brothers? How about in the church life? Maybe some of us never received this kind of shepherding, and therefore we don't know how to give them. It's possible. It's possible. But brothers, even so, even though we did not receive that much, how about we learn from Paul to do this kind of work? You just pick up a brother, a sister. You just pick up a few, handful, that's all. And intentionally, very intentionally, with burden, with prayer, you care for them, you visit them, you have Zoom get together with them. And soon you won't be just having just small talk. Of course, you need to do that to get more acquainted, to get more, to break the ice, to really to warm them up and to cherish. But soon enough, you need to say something, even they don't know it, of teaching. Not in a classroom, not in an FTTA course, but in a motherly way, in a fatherly way. Sometimes even in a playful way with a little baby. But you're actually what? Exhorting, teaching. Giving them something of the truth according to their level. Don't boil the kid in the mother's milk. Don't never do that. just be at their level and give them something, give them a shot, give them some food that nourishes them. This is what we mean by ministering Christ, brothers. And you learn it by doing it again and again and again and again. I'm not saying I'm better than you at all. I'm absolutely not saying I do this more than you at all. But I would say over the last, by now, 45 years, literally, from when I was young, beginning to raise up a small church and to, you know, to take care, oversee a church, I begin to practice this according to Brother Lee's charge. Looking back, I cannot say I'm not that successful, but I actually cannot imagine how it would be if I didn't follow Brother Lee's teaching to take the shepherding way. Sure, I give a lot of messages, I stand up there in the podium and that, but that's just a fraction of my service. If today that is removed, there's no more need or no more possibility of speaking in that way, am I going to be out of a job? Or when I get older, I couldn't do that. Will I be out of a job? No, no. I hope in my end, I may not be standing up there preaching because I couldn't probably even stand straight. But I hope I'll still have some energy left to shepherd a young brother. Or, you know, I always tell you the story of Eugene Grula Sr., who died shepherding a sister, literally collapsed on his chair in his living room or in his house, shepherding a sister. If I'm that sister, I don't know how I can ever forget that scene. That is a real elder. Of course, he was an elder in New York City, but by then he was not. He's just a brother in the church in Los Angeles. He was considered the angel of the church in LA because he was the one who say, go ahead and start the church. No one dared to say that. Even Brother Lee didn't say that. He said that. And they started 1962 May to break bread in LA. This is the brother who shepherded me. Unforgettable experience. Never gave me a big message, never anything like that. He was not a good speaker. With heavy-duty German accent. But brothers, I can never forget his shepherding me. A 19-year-old sitting with him on the matter of consecration. On the matter of consecration. I was consecrated, but he exhorted and helped me to a further consecration, a stronger consecration. Brothers, we can do it if we have the heart to do it. Now, the other thing in this verse is, number one, Paul did this, number one, publicly. That means probably in a public place with a lot of people. And number two, he did that from house to house. Now, today we cannot go house to house, but we can, right? Half Zoom will travel, okay? Half Zoom will visit. Today, with technology, we could actually visit house to house to house to house. We can get into the living room. We can get into the kitchen with these dear ones. Brothers, let's do it. This pandemic cannot stop us. No way. In fact, it should make it easier for us to visit people's homes. I've never seen so many living rooms in my life. You know, when these meetings, all the brothers and saints, I saw everybody's living room or study or library, whatever it is. It's so intimate, brothers. All right, I jump over. He said in 27, for I did not shrink from declaring to you all the counsel of God. Of course, that's what he did in teaching them the counsel of God. You know, it's one thing to listen to a message in a conference or training. It's another for you to digest that word and spoon feed a younger one. Spoon feed a younger one something that you have digested and assimilated. Therefore, watch, verse 31. Remembering, again, Paul, remember, elders, just remember, just recall that for 3 years, 3 years, brothers, 1,000 days, 3 years, Paul was in Ephesus night and day. I did not cease admonishing each one with tears. So not only we have publicly, house to house, now we have each one. That's one on one. I did not cease what? Admonishing. There's a lot of admonishing needed in our shepherding of the saints. No, we don't come down with a big, right, hammer. No, we don't come here in a forceful way to, you know, set them straight. That's not admonition. Admonition requires much patience. Much patience, much long-suffering, much repetition. You need a lot of kindness and compassion. You need a lot of faith. You need a lot of endurance to really admonish someone because they don't get it the first time, the second time. With tears, this is the second mentioning of Paul's tears. Brothers, I just am here dreaming. If all the local churches in this country are full of elders and leading brothers and responsible ones doing just this. Brothers, we will build up the core. We will be building up the church. Because these ones that we shepherd and teach in this kind of a way, pouring your heart out, holding nothing back, not shrinking in any way, night and day, this kind of labor, brothers, will produce results, long-term results. And we'll raise up a generation on the receiving end that have tasted of this kind of shepherding. And they will also replicate that, follow that as the next generation. Brothers, this should be our legacy, shouldn't it? I think this is quite good enough as to Paul's spirit, Paul's attitude. You can read all the other verses and footnotes and his person and all of that. It's all there. But, brothers, I just want to give you a very practical handle how to build up the church in the current environment. I am ready to stay as a lockdown, as an older person, for until at least the year's end, if not for another year. It's possible, at least for older people. So am I going to just be stuck here and just feeling sorry for myself? Or will I redeem the time and utilize this current environment to do a lot more effective shepherding? Brothers, the saints, whether they show up on your Zoom or not, they will be happy with a visit, because that just translates into I care. I care for you, brother. That's why I'm talking to you. And in so doing, you will learn a lot of things. You'll make mistakes. And I made tons of mistakes, but you learn how to pray as you speak, right? That's a big one. How to discern the person, that's another one. That means to find out where they are. How to listen to their silence, what they do not say, how to hear that. That's chapter one in the book, the character of the Lord's worker is be a good listener. Many of us don't know how to listen. We hear, but we don't listen. And then how to evaluate or analyze or diagnose a person's situation. Once you have the diagnosis, to administer help is actually the easier part. To find out where this person really is at is usually the harder part. How to share something that is at their level and not too much. How to not use the wrong verses. Many of us use the wrong verses, wrong scriptures. Don't think that is a small point. The right verse, just hit the mark. Just what? Break the joints and the marrow. It becomes operative. How to follow the Lord's leading and the Lord's anointing. How to stay, be one with the Lord as you care for someone. How to be pure with a pure motive. How not to be political, not be political in caring for people. There's a ton of things to learn, but you don't learn just going to a class. You learn by doing. I hope all ages in the church will receive this kind of shepherding in these days. Not all from us. There would be others with us. The full-timers, right? The young people serving ones. Sisters, big time sisters. But we ourselves, we must take the lead. All right, I think this is good enough. Actually, I passed the time already. So is that okay, brothers? Thank you.